Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on Six Capitals, Six Points of View, on what we're told is the eve of a conflagration called the counteroffensive that we're told may result in resolution. We have an interview in the Wall Street Journal appearing on Saturday in which Mr. Zelensky is blunt about where Kyiv is right now, about the counteroffensive, and where Kyiv is about NATO and the U.S. For example, in a wide-ranging hour-long discussion, Zelensky said he feared U.S. elections next year could bring a less supportive administration to power, and he called on NATO to offer a clear path to membership for Kyiv. He also goes on to say, Ukraine would have liked to have more Western-supplied weapons for the coming campaign, he said. Still, Ukraine is ready to move. The quote, we would like to have certain things, but we can't wait for months. Professor Keefe's point of view, it both confident and extremely fragile. How do you measure?
Well, I find it very sobering, and I think Zelensky understands his predicament and that of his people rather well. I mean, their country is being leveled, and their youth are being bled, not quite white, but they're being sacrificed to stop the Russians. At the same time, a new hard alloy of Ukrainian nationalism, which has never existed in the past, this is the real thing, is being forged. And the United States has had a very ambivalent attitude, which is on the one hand, we don't want the Russians to win. But on the other hand, we want the kind of war that we've envisioned is what you'd call a rule-abiding war, one that looks like the diagram in your poli-sci textbook of escalation, conflict, de-escalation, or something. What in Russian they'd call zakonomerny, that is to say, rule-following. And our administration has been trying to control the all-consuming flames, uncontrollable flames of war, by rationing weapons. And I certainly feel that Ukraine is in a very strong position now. They're pretty well squared away as far as weapons go, but I frankly wish that we had supplied to them and are going to supply to them what we would want if our soldiers were in the place of the Ukrainian soldiers facing the kinds of sophisticated weapons. And I mean, Russia is still a major power. We have never really sat down and figured this out. It's like Vietnam. We could have won in Vietnam, but they never had a meeting where they discussed how do we win this thing. They just did this and that. And then they took when the Marines went in, they were to guard the airport in Saigon. Is that what Marines do? No. So if what the Ukrainians are now doing, and I admire them for this, is they are pushing out. They're taking the battle to Russia, but they're not taking it really to all of Russia, although somebody's firing drones at Moscow. It's thought, because most of them are very small drones, that they're being fired by domestic Russian opponents. But a couple of large drones landed on the Kremlin a couple of days ago. And this indicates both that there's unrest in Russia, and that strikes fear and just terror into the hearts of any Russian leader, the idea that the people are restless. At the same time, they are striking, particularly in this Belgorod area. If you look at the map, this is really the logistical heart of the whole Russian effort. And there are major storage facilities, command facilities, arsenals or dumps for ammunition, petroleum reserves. There are all kinds of things gathered around Belgorod because it's on a major railway line and it's connected to some important Russian cities. And now the Ukraine, somebody, we're not sure it's the Ukrainians, but somebody is out there sabotaging Russian lines of communication. And if you can defeat your enemy by cutting his lines of communication, that's a very good way to do it.
The detail about Ukraine right now, anxious about the future. We'd like to have more weapons, but we need to go now. What is it, your understanding of what pressure they're on? NATO is not saying, well, we'll go to Brussels next, because NATO has other concerns, and perhaps Kyiv has more information. He wants to be in NATO, which would mean Article 5 would be a layer of protection Ukraine and many states do not enjoy. So when we come back, we'll go to Brussels and ask hard questions about NATO after the vote in Turkey. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.